turn my phone off real quick.
That's always a good idea. You know, one of the things about Apple devices in general is that they give you a good way to turn off all of the distractions on all your devices at the same time. You hit that focus button, and you can even tell it for how long, and you end up shutting off your phone, your watch, and your pop-ups on your computer so that you can actually sit down and record a podcast or whatever you got to do. Get work done.
Are we recording right now?
Yes, we are now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know about that feature, and it's amazing that I still don't care about that feature.
Hi, I'm George Tekmachev here with Steve the
Big Cat
Anderson, and it's time for another Easton Target Archery podcast.
Hold on while I put my phone on focus.
Yeah, put it on focus. Just hit that button. Says focus.
Says focus. Well, there's a lot of focuses.
There are foci. Yes, there are
work, multiple. Sleep, D&D. Which
I'd do
one?
The work one if I were you.
Okay, because we're at work.
Yeah, and that way, if Zach Kurtzall decides that he needs to get through to you, he still can.
How does it know that he's...
Because he's in your contacts.
Yeah, but a lot of people are in my contacts.
Yes, but they'll know. It'll know if it's Zach.
I hope so. We'll see.
All right. You never want to block the boss, even if you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, got to take that call.
Got to take that call. So, yeah, I got to say that it's been a little while since we've done a podcast. I've been traveling a lot. You've been busy as anybody can be, you know, the proverbial one-legged man in the butt-kicking contest kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot has snuck up on us. Like, the World Cup happened. I didn't even know it was happening.
You know, I'm not feeling it.
Was there no fanfare leading up to it?
It doesn't feel like it.
Maybe I just missed it, but...
Well, you know, it's an Olympic year, right? All the fanfare is about the Olympic Games.
I think that's probably what the situation is. I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, about trials and team selections here and there.
Yeah, but, like the Colombian guys making history on their way to Paris by beating the American team and taking that one slot that was available at the Pan Am Championship. But how about those American women?
Yeah, getting the team done.
They got it done.
They're looking good.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Look, Casey is Casey. You know, she's been... I think in the last four world level events that she's been in, she has been in the finals of all four of them. She's been ranked world number one twice now in the last 18 months. Casey is Casey right now. She is kind of the Brady of the women's side as far as the American team goes.
And the others are following.
Yes. And the same is true.
They're playing the game.
I will say my highlight for the season so far. You want to know what my highlight for the season is so far?
Sure. What season? Indoor?
Outdoor season so far.
Okay, so it's very young.
So I'm down at Arizona Cup. I'm doing the broadcast for USA Archery. And I watch a wall, like a sumo wrestler of wind, come blowing through the venue just as Jack Williams releases a shot.
I saw it.
Spider.
Shut the tent. Yeah, middle.
Middle of the middle.
And do you think it was on purpose? Do you think he just kind of lucked out? I mean,
well, you know,
you make your own luck a lot in shooting.
You can't, you know, it's better to be lucky than good, they say, but Jack is good. And I think the combination of his determination to shoot that shot, because he was holding for a bit, his determination to shoot that shot and, you know, just his aim offness and whatever. But I got to tell you, that wind literally was like somebody walked up behind you and gave you a decent shove. Nice. I'm not exaggerating. It was not gentle. And the boy did good, and he ended up winning. So first victory of the outdoor season goes to Jack Williams. And Casey Coughold, same deal.
Yeah, just real strong.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. Like, here's part of the issue with having your trials this early, and then the Olympics is in 100 days, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we record.
You're going to have a lot of people who've peaked already.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a high-level shooter with a good coach, you're going to manage that, right?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people... I think peaking, too, is sometimes just a mental thing.
Oh, I agree.
If you've decided you've peaked or you're tired of training and all that, you know, you'll hit a peak. So it for a lot of people, especially some of these young kids, they just go out and grind and shoot and do their thing, and they don't know what a peak is, right? They're going to have good days and bad, no sure. matter when.
Well, you know, our game is a physical game, but it's mostly a mental game. And at the end of the day, the person who's got the best long-range plan, and, you know, we're talking about 3 months now, The person who's got the best plan to prepare for Paris is the one that's going to have the advantage going into that thing. And I'll tell you that right now, if you wanted to see somebody who's definitely on track, it's Metagazos. He's been shooting brilliantly.
Haven't really. I mean, yes, he shot Spring Arrows, right? In his home field there.
Yep.
I didn't like see scores or anything from that, but I saw that he won.
Yeah, and he won decisively, but he has been shooting at a really high level from the standpoint of his practice scores and his regular training. I'm expecting that we may see a repeat. I never have predicted that anybody would repeat at the Olympic Games in the modern era, as certain people like to say, the modern era. But I will say that I really believe if anybody has a shot, it is Metagazos.
Yeah, he's really good. Always has been good, right? Sure. And he didn't slow down at all after the last one. It's like he picked up the pace a little bit. So not surprised if he would be one of my top three contenders.
Sure.
I'm not going to turn down. I don't want to get into a too early Olympic prediction just yet. Maybe we save that for another.
No, and we're definitely got it. We got to bring in Galantine for this too.
Yeah, we'll do that closer. another day.
Yeah,
but not we can't wait too long, or we'll be too close to the games.
Right,
we'll do so it. So maybe let's do it after this week because we'll have seen a World Cup. Okay. We'll see kind of where people stand after the first World Cup of the year,
especially the untested Korean women's team.
Yes, they have. Yeah, we'll see where they're at, and we'll. Is that sarcasm where you say untested?
They're untested, man. They have never, the three women on the Korean Olympic team basically have very little international experience. This tournament in Shanghai taking place this week is one of their first.
But you know what people internationally have none of? Korean team experience.
That's right.
So, yeah, they'll probably win, and they'll probably win decisively this week.
I'm not saying they won't. So, I'm simply saying, they haven't even shot yet. So yeah,
They've seen the
as we record
the best that anyone can throw at them already.
Yeah, well, and that's other Koreans.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's where I thought you were being sarcastic. Somebody had said untested, and you were like, "Come on," but yeah, I get it now.
Me sarcastic?
Yeah. What were we? Okay, so after this week, we'll
see what's happened in Shanghai. We'll know that.
We'll decide.
We've got Gator Cup coming up right around the corner from the American side of the field, right?
Yep.
Still got European championships up ahead, by the way. Some of the Euro teams are going to try to get their Olympic slots there.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's the thing. Here's where I don't want to be. I don't want to be in the position the American men are in right now. It would have been much better if they had prevailed in Colombia, honestly. Obviously. Okay.
Yeah, you could look at it and say it would be better if they'd won world championships last year.
100%. But is what it is. Now the FQT, the final qualifying tournament, which will take place in Turkey. Goodness knows what the weather can be like.
But what I think they'll have is a solid team there. I think they'll actually make it.
Yeah.
Is it going to take three there? Do you know what's the status on that anymore?
It's too complicated for me to really understand and be able to relate in a meaningful way. So I'm going to stay away from it. But I'll just say that, it comes down to a combination of wins, podiums, and then you're looking at the world ranking list.
Yes. So it'll probably, we'll know more after European championships on that.
Yeah, for sure. And, the USA men have got a shot based on the world ranking list.
Oh, so that's a thing too.
They do. All right, you don't want to be there. But yeah. There it is.
Means it's important for them to do well here in Shanghai as a team.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Because it counts.
Yeah. So my favorite thing that I've watched in archery was the semifinals of the FQT in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like, if you won the semis, you knew you were in. They took three teams. So those who went to the gold medal match, I don't even remember if they shot a gold medal match. They were just like, congrats, you're in. They were ecstatic after the semis. The ones who didn't were trying to compose themselves. And I've talked about this before on here, I'm sure, but whatever, I'm going to talk about it again. The ones who lost in the semis went to the bronze medal match, and it was winner goes to the Olympics and loser I'm not going to say threw away 4 years of their life, but had 4 years of pursuing a goal
sure
come to an end. And you saw people's souls die.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could only imagine. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a life-changing experience for a lot of people to either make it or not make it.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, some of these people live, for example, in training centers that are arranged by their countries. Within 24 hours after not making a team, you can be told, hey, get on the bus.
See you later.
See you later. Pack your stuff. You're gone.
Yeah.
You know, like India, that's happened there.
I mean, we've seen, you know, France decided theirs, or they cut theirs down multiple times.
Yep.
And we saw some of their top archers not make it through the first cut, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was their life, was living at the training center. Now it's over. And that's in your home Olympics.
And they've got to have a plan. You got to have a plan, right? If you don't have a plan, that is a particularly devastating 24 hours, right? But the mentality is, well, if I plan, I'm planning to fail. Why should I make a plan?
Yeah. So
it's kinda a gut punch either way.
Yeah. You know. I always want to have something in place, right? No matter what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's me personally, but that's called being prepared.
I've actually seen the effects of this on people. You know, we had a USA Archery, this is before Rod Menzer and before Denise Parker, there was a guy in there who, the minute the trials process eliminated certain of the resident athletes, they were basically given 12 hours to move out, which was just kind of a, I'm going to insert a beep here, move, you know?
Yeah.
Because the purpose of the RA program was to build for the future. So why are you discarding these people that you've invested all this time in?
They have no future.
Well, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
It's kind of interesting how that'll happen. They'll literally look at a program like that and think that someone has aged out, you know, and they'll move them on.
How old is Brady now?
I don't know, but he's not in the RA program.
No, but he's not about to age out of anything.
No. Soon. And they would, if he wanted to be in the RA program, they would have him. But you know, I've seen archers who were our fourth best guy, didn't make the team. They were still our fourth best guy and they moved him out, you know? So then they brought in someone else. It's like, I bet that guy in 4 years could still be our fourth best guy or possibly our third by then.
Yeah.
But you know, because they're the ancient age of 29 in recurve, it's time to go. Time to trot in some 16-year-old. So just kind of how it works.
Shifting gears, but on a related note, one of the most important pieces of news from the past week is the retirement of one of my favorite people in this sport, the legendary Oh Jin-hyuk.
Oh, yeah. So he officially is retiring again.
He finally announced his actual retirement. You know, first man from the leading nation in the sport to win the Olympic Games in 2012. He started talking about retiring 9 years ago. The man's 42 now. So when he was 33, he started talking about retirement. He had a shoulder injury. And it was, you know, one of the most difficult trials processes for the most difficult team to make. And he made it to the final eight. In fact, he was as high as fourth at one point. But he did not make the Olympic team. It's Kim Woo-jin, Kim Jae-duk, and Lee Woo-seok, making Kim Woo-jin the old man of the team now.
How old is he? Like 34?
He's like 33 or 34.
Yeah. If I remember right, he's a little bit younger than me.
Yeah.
It's a dark horse, or not a dark horse pick, but top three pick, I'm putting him in again.
Sure.
I'm always going to put him in. If he's in the field, I'm always going to assume he's going to be in the medal matches.
Yeah. If we are talking about Mehta Gudzoss, we've also got to talk about Kim Woo-jin.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And then I'll pick a dark horse after this week. I want to see who emerges.
Let's see what happens in Shanghai. You know, the odds are it's going to be somebody that we're not predicting, right? Although you predicted Mehta, famously, I'm always going to give you credit for this. You predicted Mehta Gudzoss before the Olympic Games in Tokyo 2021.
Thank you. Yes, I did.
And I mean, you were doubling down on it.
I should have bet money. I don't know why I don't bet money on this.
Well, you can now. Apparently, there's a betting company that's a World Archery sponsor.
They've always, like, these companies have always existed that you could bet on Olympic sports.
I mean, it's
not in the U.S.
You understand the irony here, though. I mean, sports betting is sponsoring the Archery Federation that doesn't allow you to bet on its sport.
Are we not? Well, the participants are not allowed to bet, right?
Apparently.
Sure.
I just think it's...
There's some irony there.
Whatever. Anyway.
But you know what? I can bet now.
Yeah, because you're no longer a...
Here's the real irony. Like, we saw this happen in the NBA, actually, last week. There's a guy named Jonte Porter who they discovered had bet possibly on some of his own games.
Wow.
Definitely was betting a lot on NBA games, but I think they came to the conclusion he didn't bet on his own games, but he definitely did stuff to affect the outcome. Like, he started the game, left the game sick, right? So... and there was unusual betting activity on Jonte Porter's stat lines. So that's how they kind of discovered it. Anyways, he caught a lifetime ban. And that's in the NBA where if you're... He was what they call a two-way player, I believe. So mm-hmm. they go from the D-League, like the minor league team, up to the NBA. They go back and forth. So, you know, he was... Not a premier level player, but probably still making a lot of money to play basketball. And if you're a full-time, like, regular player in the rotation in the NBA, you're making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Guys who you've never heard of are making 15, 20 million bucks a year. So,
you mean like on the Italian circuit or?
No, like in the NBA.
Oh, in the NBA.
Yeah. Okay. Like, they're making a lot of money and they're not superstars.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
The game has changed. So, in archery, there's not a lot of money to be made. You could make far more money throwing a match, betting on yourself.
Well,
it would get caught, right? People would be like, why did someone bet $100,000 on an archery match, right? That would be the thing. But the interesting thing about that is there's a lot of upside into keeping yourself in the NBA, and there's not a ton of upside financially for keeping yourself in archery.
Well,
And people are betting on themselves in the NBA.
You know, it's interesting that back in the 90s, there was a huge discussion about the concept of deliberately throwing a match to get your team into a better bracket.
And or like an arrow.
Uh-huh.
Like shoot a nine on purpose or shoot a miss on purpose.
Yeah, to allow yourself to maybe not be in a bracket against your own teammates or to prevent a situation where you'd find yourself coming up against a really strong team too early.
Yeah, team. I mean, I saw the U.S. do it 2013 World Championships.
Well.
They threw one on purpose.
Okay, but let me ask you this. It's a dynamic situation. How do you know that what you just did is going to get what you expect?
At the time, they were shooting a 14-40 round.
Okay, yeah.
And there was enough separation that they could see, if we shoot a miss here, we'll move from... whatever.
So that was,
a
deliberate.
Yeah.
I mean, and the team agreed to do it, right?
I guess one guy agreed to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a situation involving a recurve team where one of the team members refused to do it and it put him in a bracket that got him taken out in the next pass.
Yeah.
Well. So, you know, the team round in my mind is a different animal, right? I mean, if we're really honest to goodness, an individual sport that has a team round tacked onto it, team tactics should be part of that.
Should be. You see it in other events, Formula One, you know, they'll move a faster driver 100%. By a teammate.
See the same thing in MotoGP.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
That said, I think you got to respect the individual who's competing as well. So if you are, especially if you've earned a spot, right? Like it's much different in Formula One where you are hired to do a job. In World Archery Competition, you've earned a spot on a team. With your own money, you've gotten yourself there. Like they didn't hire you. They're not, even if they're quote unquote paying.
You're talking from the American perspective
here.
Because
American
as you know, if you're a Korean shooter, you're fully funded.
Yeah, it's much, well, even if you're fully funded, I mean, are they, if you're not receiving a salary, if it's not your job, like I don't owe you anything. I earned that funding. So.
Well, I about guarantee you that somebody, let's say that pick a Korean shooter. Their coach tells them to do something, they're going to do it.
Sure. But you tell me to do that. And even though we were funded when I was going to World Cups, I'm going to be like, we'll see. I'm going to decide. Right. It's because I earned my spot there. I earned that.
Now you're talking about the individual round here.
Well,
or are you talking about
if they ask? I mean, it all rolls up into the same thing. So if they say, hey, can you do this for the team? I'm going to go, maybe not. Let me look at my individual situation.
Sure. But so, if it didn't affect your individual situation, would you say that you would?
Sure, but it always does, because qualification of individuals rolls up into a total team qualification too. Sure. So,
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
If that if they were two separate entities, yeah, I'd do whatever we needed to do for to help the team. But
no, but to your point, yeah, you've got to balance those two things.
Yep.
Anyway,
I don't even know how we got onto that topic.
I don't know. I was going to go down the rabbit hole of Shohei Ohtani and Ipe Mizuhara.
Oh, yeah, his guy.
I was in Japan when all that broke. And you know, here's the thing. Millions of dollars stolen from Ohtani by his interpreter to cover up bets with a bookie, right? With an illegal bookmaker. And I don't think that Ohtani deserves to be painted with the brush of the situation.
Some people just like to gamble. Like, wouldn't have
some people
have
are addicted
been,
to gambling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was addicted to gambling. He would have been better off just stealing the money.
People are addicted to gambling the way that people are addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
So explain to me why it's okay for a cigarette company. Why is it okay to ban cigarette companies from supporting sport? But it's okay to have gambling companies support sport. I got to ask, why? Why is that okay?
They feel better about it today.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just the same kind of thing in my mind.
I can agree with you 100%, but I don't know. I guess they just, the cigarette money was too dirty to take.
Well, but at what point does the gambling money become too dirty to take?
Whenever.
At what point does the...
Whenever, you know, something decides
at what
it
point
is.
Does the Chinese counterfeit archery product manufacturer money get too dirty to take?
Yeah, that's a whole nother can of worms. And
don't get me started.
Yeah.
Anyway.
A wise man once said, don't be surprised when you lie with the dogs and you wake up with fleas.
Or he who dines with the devil may find the spoon too short. All right, moving on. I'll tell you what, when you look at some of the scores from Shanghai, you know, Matthias Fullerton, right? Matthias has been doing very well. He won the Arizona Cup. He still is on a roll right now as we look at
P1.
Yeah, P1 with a 7.14. That's, you know, pretty solid shooting. I think that Mikey is in there, you know. Mikey is in the mix.
Seven guys over 7.10.
Yeah. 1 point between first and fourth, I think. I looked at it a few hours ago, maybe.
It's 7.14, 7.14, 7.13, 7.12, 7.12, 7.11, 7.11.
Yes, yeah, so
that's
not too
first
far off
through
of that.
Seventh. Yeah. Then it goes to 7.09. There's no 7.10s. There were 37 over 700, which is not a record there. We were far better back in the day.
Back in the day. But who knows what the weather was like either.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it was probably pretty good if seven guys shot over 7.10.
Yeah.
And the girls, two girls over 7.10, and this has to be a record, 20 girls over 700 points.
If I'm looking at this correctly, I'm seeing Easton Arrows being used by 8 out of the top 10, including the top 8. So, or 9 rather, top 9. Anyway.
I don't know all of that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. The women also had pretty impressive scores, don't you think? I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting at. 20 women over 700.
Yeah.
That's a record. It's got to be.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Paid attention, but.
They don't keep that record per se, but it's certainly the kind of thing.
We all kind of pay attention
Andrea
to.
Andrea Becerra from Mexico, shooting her Hoyt Stratos and her Easton X10s.
713.
Jyothi Venom from India, 711.
Hoyt Stratos, Easton X10s.
Oh, Yoo Hyun from Korea, also Hoyt Stratos, right? Sarah Lopez, a Hoyt Stratos. Yeah, really good. You got So Che Wan in there, sixth place. You got just a bunch of good shooters in there.
Hazel Barun, that's the girl from Turkey who set the indoor world record, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, yes. The one that they didn't realize had set a world record till 6 weeks after the fact.
Yeah, so that's she's up there.
Yeah. But, you know, here, let me just point one thing out. If this were 20 years ago, you would see USA shooters in the top. You'd see three USA shooters in the top five. First place,
yes.
Mexico. Second place, India. Third place, Korea. Fourth place, Colombia. Sixth place, Korea. Seventh place, Turkey. Eighth place, India.
You don't even have to go back 20 years. Korea. I mean,
the top American shooter is 10th.
And she shot a 703. It's pretty solid.
Very solid. Absolutely. But, you know, it's clear to me that the rest of the world has caught up.
It's the information. They've learned. They've learned how to set up bows. They've learned how to...
This is true. The information dissemination on Compound has become a key part. And, you know, I mean, it's stuff like this. It's like the Indian team coming to the Hoyt factory.
Jeremy, my boss is outside trolling us.
We're getting trolled right now. We're getting trolled right now by Hoyt's Jeremy Eldridge.
Thank you. He wants to be on the show.
I think Jeremy wants to be on the podcast.
I mean, I just can't believe these microphones.
They're pretty nice, wow. Huh?
Well, they sound better than our usual iPhones that we hold up to our...
Awesome. I love it. Are you literally in the middle of a podcast?
We are literally in the middle of the Easton Target Archery podcast as we speak.
Dang, I love Easton. I just got some parallel pros. They are sick.
Well, there you go.
What a hard sell.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Eldridge, the vice president of marketing for Hoyt, making a pitch like we've never heard before.
That's right. That's real life.
All right. Oh, well. I think he was impressed with the microphones.
I think so. Yeah, he was outside really eyeballing them. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
We were talking about how all of these, all this compound information. You know, we had the Indian team out here at Hoyt and the Easton factory with, you know, the leadership of the Indian coaches as well as Sergio Pagni. You know, we had the Koreans out here learning from guys, you know, the guys who build the bows, right?
Yeah.
All the little detail stuff.
I think if you went back 15 years, there was far less international competition in compound.
Sure.
There were none of them. They'd never won Vegas. An international had never won Vegas. They, you know, had good shooters, obviously, here and there. But what happened is at that point, like, you look at, what was it, 2006, the World Cup started. So that was 18 years ago. So a little bit after that, I think you started getting people going around doing seminars, doing educational things, working with coaches. You started having more travel because you had more events. It used to be that the international archery community would come together a couple times a year.
Yep.
Now it's like 10, 12.
It's 100% true.
So there's just more information being shared, even, more people seeing each other.
Even further to the, quote, pre-modern era, which to world archery appears to be anything before 2006. And really, you'd only see people every 2 years.
Yeah, see them at a world championship and that was it.
That was it.
Yep.
You know, so, especially back then, because, you know, a lot of countries, they wouldn't allow their shooters to go to a world field championship if they were a target team member. Like France, for example. You know, one of the most brilliant shooters in French history, Carole Ferreau, was only allowed to shoot field archery.
Incredible.
Yeah, stuff like that. So, anyway. Well, I'll say this. I think that this season is off to a strong start when you look at the scores that we're seeing from Shanghai. We'll obviously see what happens. I'm calling it right now as maybe Sarah Lopez or So Che Wan for the winner. But, you know, any one of these women can do it. Jyothi or Andrea.
On the number one side is really tough.
It is not an easy bracket.
Yeah, you've got Sarah and Ella Gibson will meet there. If they were to both win through, right, they would meet in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Then they'd face Andrea Becerra, you know, again, if everyone just won through according to the rank.
Yep.
Aditi Swami is in there.
You know.
Yeah, there's... I would rather be on the number two side, but again, it doesn't matter. There's plenty of good shooters. You only get 15 arrows against them. So...
Yeah,
could be. You run into the wrong person at the wrong time. You get sent home. If you have a good day, you know, you're the wrong person to run into, then you get to keep going.
Marcy Tonioli is still in there, and, you know, that's nice to see. 15 years in her career, and she's still shooting at a high level from Italy. And let's see, Alexis Ruiz from the U.S., she's got a bye in the first pass. She's going to be up against either a shooter from Austria or a shooter from Kazakhstan, most likely Kazakhstan. And then she's probably going to run into Ella Gibson. So we'll see what happens there. I'm looking at Jothy Venom's end of the bracket here. And you know what? I think she might just roll this over pretty well if she keeps it together.
I could pick Jothy to win, no problem.
Yeah. On the men's side, it's maybe maybe a little more indeterminate, let's say. Obviously, Matthias is the number one qualifier. You know, he's up against Jesse Sutt from Italy. So number one versus number 64. So I think we know how that's going to go. And then he's got a guy from either Poland or France to go up against. Then he's up against probably Joseph Bosanski or Sanghyun Park.
So it's funny you say one against 64, but Jesse Sutt has been able to throw down
in his day. You know what? I have seen the same.
So it's hard, like, looking through. The problem with the men's bracket is you don't know who had a bad day and then fix their problems after the qualification round.
This is important to note. Yeah,
look at Martin Damsbo, 38th, right? And he might have gone to the practice range afterwards, figured something out, and he's ripping and roaring for tomorrow. It happened all the time.
If there's, anybody could do it, it is Martin Damsbo.
I mean, Roger Willett would routinely qualify like 35th and then win the tournament. Yeah, crush. So, yeah, he would. I remember him being 32nd and, you know, going up against number one and just destroying the year he won like three events. So
I would apply the same note to Abhi Verma. Right?
Yeah. He's 13th. It doesn't matter. Again, it's whoever can get on a roll tomorrow and have a good day and have a little bit of luck.
On the other end of the field, you got
40 guys who can win.
Mikey Schlusser is in a, what should be low hanging fruit kind of bracket, if you ask me. You got Nico Girard, who's probably going to come up against him in the quarterfinals, or maybe Martin Damsbo. But, you know, Mikey's not in such a bad position.
No, he's in a good spot, and Mikey's always in a good spot because he's freaking Mike Schlosser.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could – you know what? I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to pick Mikey for the win. Why not?
Okay. I'm with you.
He's got nothing better to do.
And if not Mikey, then maybe Abhi.
I could see Abhi pulling it off.
I could see Abhi doing it. Anyway, we'll see what happens in the next few days. In the meantime, lots of other action coming up. We've got...
Before we go on, there's a one named man from India.
I saw that.
Priyansh.
Yes.
God, how would I would... I would like... I'd give a lot to become one name.
Well, I mean, you know, I suppose we could just call you Anderson.
I thought about that the other day. Thought about going by like a pen name.
Uh-huh.
And making people think that I might be, say, Brazilian or something.
Sure.
And just go by Anderson.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a first name there.
It is, yeah.
And
like Anderson Cooper, the CNN guy.
Well, Anderson Varejão. He was a Brazilian basketball player.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, they do a lot of one name to people in Brazil, too. Neymar. Pele. They do
Pele, yeah.
Okay, so I've named two, but Ronaldo. They had a Ronaldo there. I've named three. They all Senna. Played soccer. Sure. Yeah. Well, Ayrton Senna.
Yeah, but work with me.
Yeah. They got a lot of one-named people there. So I'm just going to become Anderson.
Okay. All right. We'll have to figure out a new introduction for the show then. I was just going to say that, you know, we've got Reading right around the corner.
Reading's coming up.
And then Gator Cup is coming up, and I'm headed down there for that.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be doing some coverage. In quite a while.
I'm not looking forward to going to Florida.
Hey, Florida's cool.
No, it's not. It's hot and humid.
No, it's not bad at Gator Cup. It's never bad.
Hot and humid.
Never bad.
All right, good. I will bring rain gear. That'll stay off the
rain. Do that because, you know, it's bound to be a problem because there's trials and all sorts of stuff happening. So they're going to deal with lightning. That's the thing about Gator Cup is you'll have lightning. But usually the weather is very favorable.
All right. Wait a minute. You just contradicted yourself in a big way.
Yes, the temperature is very favorable.
Okay.
There you go.
They've got lightning. The weather's favorable. What am I, Tor?
Yeah. You know, it's like,
gonna hold Mjolnir up there and use it to my advantage.
I mean, as far as you know, you've never been struck by lightning.
As far as I know, but I've come close.
As far as you know, you're impervious to lightning.
I'm definitely not impervious to lightning.
As far as you know, you are.
Until you find out.
Right.